Hi, welcome to the August 2022 Behind Our Eyes book launch. This month, we are privileged to be chatting with author Jo Elizabeth Pinto. Jo has written two memoirs, a fiction book, and this new collection of poetry, which is called Dancing with the Seasons, A Year in Simple Verse. I already sent her brief bio to the writer's party line, so I won't go into those details. Suffice it to say that Jo brings her life experience to everything she writes with the idea that hope is just an action away. With those thoughts in mind, I want to invite Jo Elizabeth Pinto to share any other parts of her life with us as we get started on this journey into poetry. Jo?
Hi, I'm glad to be here. I dedicated this book to my dad specifically because he loves nature and he introduced me to the world of nature, which comes out in a lot of these poems. He was and is still a canoeist and a hiker. He doesn't do 14ers anymore. He's 76 years old, but he could still out hike me and a lot of other people who are half his age. And he was always encouraging me to use my senses. It didn't really faze him much that I couldn't see. Even from the time I was very small. And so he was always encouraging me to touch things and smell things in nature. He taught me the different kinds of pine cones, and he taught me how to paddle a canoe at the same time he was teaching other children. He was a scout leader, and he really encouraged me to get out and do things. He put me on the zip line at the same time the other kids, and he took a lot of guff for not coddling me, and I was glad he didn't. So I dedicated the book to him because he really instilled in me the same love for nature he had. And rainstorms and the sound of the wind and all sorts of different things. So that's where everything began.
That's beautiful. And your love of nature certainly comes out in these poems. I think the title of your book, Dancing with the Seasons, is so appropriate because from the very beginning, you bring rhythm into your words. And we feel that dance, even though the first poem, A Lady's Gown, has no rhyme, the rhythm carries us, and that dance, that dancing step, carries us through every poem. It's just beautiful, Jo. I think it's so appropriate that we're dancing through the seasons. And a verse, a year in simple verse, the verses may appear simple on the surface, but I think that's what makes them so much more approachable for us. But you really bring such lovely ideas, and your love of nature is truly evident and a fitting tribute to your dad. So I just want to start out by saying it really is a lovely book. Can you tell us how many poems are in the book?
There are 52 poems in the book, and I was purposeful about that because if people wanted to take it slowly, they could read one every week. I haven't known too many people that did it that way, but it could be done that way.
It's when true. You could do that. It could be very meditative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful idea.
And then some of them rhyme and some of them do not, but I wanted it to be very easily read by people. But the poems have depth, even if they're easy to read and understand. I had been sort of shut down in my poetry years ago, probably 25 years ago. I submitted to a critique at a writer's conference by a professional poet who taught at Colorado University. And she basically told me not to quit my day job. And it was devastating because I was young and impressionable. And she said, this is very simplistic and it's predictable and it's just not of the caliber that will ever get you anywhere. So I turned to prose, and I had been writing poetry since I was in junior high. And I just stopped because it was just, now I would probably laugh. But at the time I was brokenhearted. And
sure.
So I just thought, well, I guess I don't really measure up. And so I didn't write poetry for years. And then I showed some to one of the members of my writer's group, and she was enchanted. And so I started writing it again. And then I got some together, mostly to show my dad and get a little book together for him, because he's getting older and I wanted something for him to have. And
sure,
some members of my family thought it should be gone further with, and so I showed my writers group, and this is what came out of it. And I got to thinking that there are different styles for different people, and this is more something that ordinary people who don't get the deeper poetry can read and be happy with. There are different things for different readers. And so that's something I'd like to remind you all, is that there's a niche for everyone.
That's beautiful. And I think your poems are accessible. As I said before, the language is very inviting, and it's not academic and, you know, puffed up in any way. It's very simple and inviting, but I don't think it's simplistic at all. I think your rhymes are lovely, and the rhythm, as I said before, is this constant joyful dancing that just takes us through the seasons. Would you like to share one of your poems with us now?
Well, I will share the first one, which it makes me laugh because my dad read it and he didn't quite get at first that it was a description of a tree. And he's, let me look for it. He is not a poem person. But once once I nudged him in that direction, he figured it out. The picture on the cover is an ash tree that he took in our hometown. It's one of his favorite pictures. Oh, come on. Here it is. Sorry, I should have had this called up. Here it is. It's called A Lady's Gown. She dresses in the morning in blossom-scented robes of softest downy velvet that glows in rosy shades. She models in the noonday, bedecked in verdant pride. The breezes stir her ruffles and rustle in her skirts. Undressing in the evening, the gown about her feet, in swirls of blazing color, she lets her glory down. She waits throughout the nighttime, hopeful, stark she stands. Her dress at dawn will dazzle, more lovely than before.
That's beautiful. And I must say, I didn't think of it as a tree myself. I thought of it as the day.
Well, it and, is sort you know, of the day, but what I had in mind was a tree with the blossoms and then the leaves and then the changing color of the leaves.
And sure.
The bare branches. But, you know, that's the neat thing about poems, is that you can think of, you don't all have to think of the same thing.
Exactly. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it's so layered with meaning, as you mm-hmm. you noted. And I love the image of a lady's gown. Your poems have many images, many feminine presences. Would you like to talk about that for us? Why there are so many feminine presences in your poems?
Well, I think nature has a lot of feminine presences in it. And there, to me, there's a lot of power in feminine presences, whether society takes note of that or not. I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of untapped power in feminine presence.
Nice.
And in nature and in power and in nature and in society. And I think it is sometimes gentle and sometimes not. And it is often unplumbed. And if it were to be plumbed, it would be amazing. We just have not.
I think that's
that
a wonderful
yet.
Insight. Yeah, go ahead. Talk more. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet.
Oh, it's okay. We just have not figured that out yet.
I didn't mean to run you off. I just think this is when it is.
It would be amazing if we did and if we could. And we will. It just.
Yes, I think it's wonderful that you bring that. Good. I hope so. We need some female voices, as you
and
say.
I think we're getting there, and maybe it will be our daughters or their daughters or someone to come.
Good. There's also a very spiritual breeze blowing through your poems, and the feminine voice and the spirituality, it's and the natural images really intertwine in such a beautiful way. Would you like to tell us about the angels that appear in your poems? I noted a couple of them.
Well, I am Christian, but I am also in touch with the more feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Presence. I don't think it's all this masculine old man God sitting on a cloud somewhere. I think there are feminine aspects. God is everywhere in every sense. And
yeah.
I don't necessarily think that means he's a him somewhere.
Sure.
So I think angels, not just cute little Christmas angels, but feminine aspects appear in breezes and snow and sunshine and birds and all sorts of mothering factors.
Lovely. Yeah, you describe a storm. Angels shake your wings, and it's just delightful to think of the angels as being present in the storm.
After their last time, and they, they shake their wings, and then we get little raindrops. Actually, that one was from the grandmother of my best friend in high school, and she used to say especially when the sun was out and it would rain, she said, "Oh, the angels are having their bath time," and it was just delightful. And I've always thought about that. When I still think of her, she's gone a long time now, but I still think of her whenever it rains like that.
That's lovely. And then you bring the angels back at the end of your book with snowy angels.
Now, that was my sister. She's very dark haired, and she was making snow angels. She used to love that. And she would be out there in the yard, just doing the whole yard in snow angels with her dark hair and her mittens. And she could fill the whole yard up with snow angels.
Well, and it's such a sweet poem. I mean, it really, the child in the poem becomes, for me, like transmuted into an angel also, you know. It's just a charming poem. Would you like to read another poem or two about maybe bringing in some of these ideas we talked about?
Let me find that one about the snowy angel. I like that one.
Okay.
Super. Snowy angel. An angel leaves her mark upon the virgin snow, a print of feet and arms thrashing in youth and joy. The snowy angel stands with rosy lips and cheeks and smiling eyes that glow and laughter on the tongue. She wears from head to toe a dusting fine and white, her mittens and her scarf a bright contrasting red. She gazes long upon the pattern on the ground. From heaven angels come. She flies and lands again. That's a warm memory for me. That I just can remember how much joy my sister was. She would do that at my mom's house, at my grandma's house, and now my daughter does those, and that's just
lovely,
very warm for me.
Yeah, it comes out, and all your poems are just so heartfelt and genuine. There's nothing pretentious. The language is open and frank, and you know, the sincerity is right there, your appreciation of nature, and also your plea to protect nature in the poem called Neighbors. Would you like to read some of that or talk about it?
I've seen in the last, well, my whole adult life, it's just so sad what has become of a lot of I read that monarch butterflies are on the endangered list, and that was heartbreaking. not too long ago, and they used to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Even 30 years ago, they used to be everywhere. And so I wrote a poem called Neighbors, and actually that one was in the Avocet recently.
Oh, wonderful. Are you able to read it for us?
I'm looking.
Okay.
We are neighbors with the dolphins as they dance atop the waves and then drown among the tangles of the wicked fishing nets. We are neighbors with the eagles as they soar among the clouds and then eat the farmer's poison and topple heavy from the sky. We are neighbors with the elephants as they thunder on the plains and then fall like mighty mountains when the hunters shoot them down. We are neighbors with the forests as they strong and ancient stand and then topple in an instant with the biting of the axe. We are neighbors on this planet, yet refuse to give a damn, and our lives will ring so lonely when our neighbors move away.
Very moving, very poignant and powerful. Thank you. So, how do you find a poem, Joe? What process do you have? How do you work?
It's not as easy as it used to be. But when I used to write poems, they would just come to me, and I would find them everywhere. I almost couldn't get away from them. And now it takes a little more. They're treasures now because I shut off the faucet and it's a little hard to turn it back on again. So now it's more. I'm not an ideas person. You know, some people who write, they have so many ideas, they don't know what to do with them. And for me, they are treasures, and I really have to grab them when I get them because they're pretty few and far between.
Yeah.
So I really,
they
don't come to me very often.
Just like the butterflies, you have to appreciate them when they come, you know?
Yes.
You're right. Do they ever flutter by in the middle of the night? That's what happens to me sometimes.
They do, and then I don't remember, or I only have a little piece of them when I wake up.
Yeah. That's frustrating, isn't it?
It is, because
or I spend half the night. Yeah. Sometimes I spend the rest of the night reciting the lines in my head until I can get to the Braille writer or something,
right.
You know.
And or I'll think, yeah. I remember this and this. Now, what was in between there? And sometimes I'll get up.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that too.
Because I know if I don't, it'll be gone.
I know. So which season is your favorite? You've counted them all here. You start with spring, which I love. And then, you know, you take us through the whole year. And at the end, we can feel you calling spring back again. It's really, it's so charming. Let's see. Is there a poem like Speak to Me of Spring or something?
Yeah, there is one.
Maybe I. Okay.
Let me find it.
Please speak to me of spring.
There is. I have to.
If you can find it. I'm jumping all over the book for you. Sorry.
Let's see. Found it in the contents.
Hi, it's Annie. I just want to let you know we're at the top of the hour.
Okay. All right. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there. Please speak to me of spring, you merry little birds, for hope to me you bring with all your joyous words. The winter cold and gray with wings, with winds that bring me down, so soon shall pass away when spring comes back around. The sun shall bless the sky and gently wake the fields and lift our spirits high as wicked winter yields. You birds await the thrill, for jubilant you sing. Despite the bitter chill, please speak to me in spring.
It's just charming.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I am not a winter person, especially as I get older. I used to love the change. I still do love the change. I don't think I could live in a place where it was always the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I have health problems now that I don't tolerate the extremes so much. So I guess I like the more temperate, just for physical reasons, I like the more temperate times of the year.
Sure.
If I didn't have health problems, I would still love all the seasons.
Well, it's obvious you appreciate their uniqueness. Each season has its uniqueness, and you speak so clearly about the birds and the winds and, you know, the flowers and all the aspects of nature. So how do you interact with nature when you're not writing poems about it?
I feed birds. And I garden, not this year because it's been quite a year, but I usually garden. I plant sunflowers and daisies and bachelor buttons and irises and a lot of flowers. I hope to get back to that. And I have bird feeders so I can hear all the different birds. This house is not conducive to many of them, but the one I had before had water nearby, and so we had blackbirds and robins and all sorts of birds. This house does not have trees near, so there's not really shelter for them, but I always put out my dogs for their nests, and anything I can do for birds.
Mm-hmm.
I've had pet birds for years and years so that I could feel them, and I did bird rescue, which was not exactly nature, but it was in a way. I did rehab and placed birds in new homes and got them healthy and all sorts of things like that. So it was a good mission until I started despising my fellow human beings for what they could do to animals, and then I had to get out of it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, you gift your fellow human beings with all these beautiful words, and I know that anyone who reads them will be touched deeply.
I donate
by the
I donate
meaning.
My books to kids and libraries and that whenever I can.
Good.
So
that's wonderful.
I want the next generation to, especially poetry, that they can read and relate to, and that's not old classic pieces that they have to really struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
Because my first impressions of poetry were Keats and Butler and Shakespeare, and I want them to have some good experiences with poetry they can understand.
Good. So how is it different writing poetry for you than writing memoir and fiction? How does it feel when you write these different genres?
I mean, the others are fun, but this is lighthearted, and it's just fun. It's short, and so you don't have to stay with it so long. You can just write something fun and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a relief.
It sounds like it. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say it sounds like it frees you quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel your spirit in these poems, Jo Elizabeth, you know, and you're just one with the wind, and I hear your sweet voice and the birds. And it's just evident that you're in these poems. So they're a real gift to readers.
I think there are a lot of poets here. And it's fun to see how different we all are in our
it
poems.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to read or talk about that I may have missed here?
I don't think so. We can have questions, maybe. I think we're...
Okay.
All right. This
Annie,
is
Annie, want to open it?
Yeah. Well, since we had 12 to 13 people, so I think we don't have to raise hands, and we can just be polite and say your name and try not to step over one another. If you have a question... go for it, and we'll just go through it that way. And then I will stop questions about, I guess, five of, so Alice can talk about Behind Our Eyes, and then we'll close up.
Okay.
How's that sound? Yeah.
This is Great. Marlene. Can I ask a question?
Hey, go ahead, Marlene.
Hi, Joe, and hi. I have all of your audiobooks, and I'd like to ask about your book Apples of Gold, which is absolutely beautiful. Do you feel the same way about when you wrote that as you do about the new one, about writing the poetry there?
Oh, I do. It's those are some of the other poems that I've had, and I loved writing poetry, and those are some I wrote back in the 80s and 90s, and I just tossed them in that book for, it was more of a kind of an uplifting, count your blessings type book. So I tossed some poetry in that one too.
It's beautiful. And I like the theme of the theme of Proverbs for the title.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyone
Hi,
else?
Jo Elizabeth. This is Alice, and I enjoyed rereading your book, Dancing with the Seasons, again this morning, and I've enjoyed your other books very much as well. And I have a couple of questions for you. If you could tell us a little more about your local writers group that was influential in bringing forth this book, and also... I noticed a theme of fairies in your book, and if you could talk a little bit about the poems that came from that theme of fairies.
Well, my my dad's family came from New Mexico, and they believe in little people there. I can't remember the word my grandma used now. It's been a long time. But they believe in magic of all sorts and kinds. They're not Mexican. They're Spanish, and they came up through Florida with Ponce de Leon. So I came from Spaniards, and they have all sorts of folklore that came with them. And they, you know, she had stories of all kinds of things that she would tell us. And so I grew up with all that. And it influenced me a lot. So I always believed, at least to some, I'm not sure I ever completely believed it, but it was fun to believe in little people. So it kind of influenced my poetry. And I don't not believe it. It's kind of awkward now to talk to people. I don't believe and I don't not believe, but it's kind of influenced my writing.
This is Annie, so you're a fairy agnostic?
I guess so. It's a fun thing to, it's kind of a fun writing thing.
Yeah.
And then as far as my writing group, we meet, there's about half a dozen of us, sometimes more, sometimes less, that meet once a week. And they've all become good friends as well as writing partners. And
nice. We've met
for years. And it's just great. We critique each other's work and we go to events together and sell books at events. And we're also friends now. We kind of take care of each other. But one of the main things we do is read each other's work out loud and kind of go over the rough spots. And they have read some of my poems and they really encouraged me to get back out there. So I'm glad of that.
But how's that? I don't know. Am I on mute?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Careful.
So I think the idea of fairies in your poems kind of bespeaks the sweet, magical elements you bring, the spiritual breezes that blow through your words, and you know, the little magical touches
it's
of
kind
imagination.
Of turned into that. Some of my grandmothers were kind of sinister, and I didn't like that. So,
yours aren't that.
I turned it into what I wanted it to be.
That's good.
Which is why I didn't quite know how to put it into words, because hers were scary and I didn't like that. So I kind of turned it more how I wanted it to be.
That's fair.
This is Marilyn with a question. In how many ways, what formats and so on, is your book available?
Well, right now it is just in Kindle and paperback. I would like to turn it into an audio book, but I haven't had the money, so I will do that when this year's been a bit too much. But when I recover a little bit financially from life, then I will get my trusty audio lady to.
Is it on Bookshare?
No, I would like it to be, but I haven't figured out that magic yet. Only one of mine is on Bookshare, but I think you have to hold your mouth right and jump up and down a few times on one foot or something.
Yeah.
I had one of my other ones submitted to Bookshare, but that's the last I ever heard about it. So I don't really know how to make that happen.
Can you talk
in
a little?
Group? Download on the Alexa or Echo device, and that's how I listen to each of your books.
So that's interesting. I know it can be read on Kindle because I've read other people's books on Kindle. I read books on Kindle all the time on the computer.
Someone in our group has some pretty good insights with Bookshare. I think
it's Winslow. Yes. There's a document he sent me. I can send it to you, Joe, or we can ask Wynn to send it to you.
Oh, okay.
It's not as hard as it used to be.
No.
It used to be really tough, but now they're much more responsive than they used to be.
I'm not a member of Bookshare.
You don't have to be. Oh. I'm not a member of Bookshare either, and all my books are up there.
Okay.
So.
Joe, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I think I'm the only one in the group that hasn't read your book yet, so that's the first thing I'm going to do is go get it on Kindle. But my question is, you talked about your father being such an influence in your life. And do you have a special poem in your book that is, you know, him to you? Did you put him in a poem? And thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. Not in that book. There's a story about him in the other book, Apples of Gold, Timely Advice When the World Doesn't Seem Lovely. He's in a story helping my daughter plant flowers. But I couldn't think, I never did write a poem. Well, actually, I did write a poem about him and lilacs, but I couldn't ever find that one, because it was the one that I had showed the person at the university person, and I destroyed it and could never reconstruct it. So it didn't make it into that book, which is sad. But there's a nice story in my other book, Apples of Gold, about my dad. And I just wish that I had not done that, because he's very sorry that poem is no more, and so am I. We do some dumb things in our lives.
Well, I don't feel alone, because when I was in university, I had an English professor. My guide dog didn't even like him. She'd growl if I mentioned his name.
Dogs know.
Yeah, well, he would bring me to tears almost every class, because he'd take my right and tear it in half and throw it in the trash can dramatically and tell me that he would never call me by name. He called me Pangloss, because he couldn't see how anyone coming from my background with my problems could possibly be so sunshiny sweet, and that I was suppressing all of the pain and angst, and he needed that to come out. And I'm thinking, you weren't there. You don't know. And if you were, you would understand that I'm not that abused child. I'm not that despised Native American girl. I'm me, and I'm here, and I'm now, and I'm the first one to go to university in my family, and I'm proud of me for getting here. So don't make me go back and tear off scabs just so you can watch me bleed. Exactly. I mean, that's not who I am, and it's not how I write. That way that you really have to remember is, if joy and the happiness that you put in your books is how you choose to feel about your life, that's real.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. It is. That's true, because you choose the ways that you feel, and you can go back to the darkness or you can be in the light. And that's sometimes the only choice you get to make.
And that's what brings readers to read your words, is it because it is real, it feels real, it resonates with people identify with your words. I read your book, Daddy Doesn't Let Mommy Drive the Car, and I read it three times because I felt like somebody actually gets it, like, you know, knows what, you know, my life. So that's what's real. And you, Joe, you write real, you know. And
I wish you would write a review that says.
Okay, I will. I will. All right. But
that I'm pushing you, but
no,
no, but it does help. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think we have never met in person, but I've been following you on Facebook for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are at a quarter after. Just want to let everybody know, a little past 7:15. So we probably want to wrap up our questions and then let Alice talk about what she wants to talk about for the closer. So Joe, do you want to promote yourself anymore? You want to give us anything else? Give us all your book titles, maybe?
Your website.
Mm-hmm. The Bright Side of Darkness is a novel that's about mentoring and second chances and resiliency. It follows a group of young men as they navigate their lives in the projects and achieve stability. And then, as she mentioned, Daddy Won't Let Mom Drive the Car, True Tales of Parenting in the Dark. And then Apples of Gold, Timely Advice When the World Doesn't Seem Lovely. That's another memoir. And then this book, Dancing with the Seasons, A Year in Simple Verse. I have a website that has not been updated in a while, but brightsideauthor.com. You can find all my books from there or on Amazon. I have a Facebook page. Author J.E. Pinto, or you can just look up my Facebook page and get there from there. That's about it.
All righty. Any other questions? I'm sorry, Joan, did I step on you? Go ahead.
That's okay. I was gonna say it was so wonderful to get to know Joe a little bit more and to talk with her about poetry and nature and everything that she weaves together for this lovely book. And Joe, yes. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks. Yes, and agreed.
Sorry that it took such a bunch of phone tag and email tag and everything else, but it was great to finally get it to happen.
Wonderful. It's been a wonderful treat to me, and I hope we'll have many more conversations together. So let's turn it over to Alice.
All right. Thank you, Joan. And I really enjoyed this book launch very much. And I know that all the voices that I'm hearing are voices from behind our eyes. But just in case we have a couple of other people on the Zoom call that are not as familiar with our organization, I'm going to say just a few words, and possibly this will also be of interest to someone who may listen to the Zoom event later when it is posted on our website, thanks to our webmaster, Jason Smith, and to Annie also. And so, for those people, I would like to say good evening, and I thank you all very much for coming to this Zoom event. And I thank you on behalf of the Behind Our Eyes Board, and also I thank you on behalf of our 106 writer members of Behind Our Eyes. And tonight, I just really want to share with all of you that you can find out so much more about our nonprofit organization by visiting our website, behindoureyes.org. That's behindoureyes.org. And if you are interested in becoming a member of Behind Our Eyes, or if you know someone else who might be interested in becoming a member, please visit the website, and there you will find a link that says Join Us. And by going to that link, you will find a form to fill out to become a member. And please remember, we never collect any dues. The only points to become a member of Behind Our Eyes is that the person is someone with a verifiable disability and that the person has a keen interest in writing. Many times people ask, do I have to have published a book in order to become a member? No. While many of our members are published authors, the membership requirement is not for publication at all. It's just that keen interest in writing and a verifiable disability. So we welcome new members at any time of the year, and we hope that you will check out our website. Besides the website I mentioned, you please check out also Magnets and Ladders.org, and that's MagnetsandLadders.org. That is our online literary publication that comes out twice a year, and we really encourage you to read some of our writings there at that website, and it's also available through the Behind Our Eyes website. Now, with all of that said, I really do want to thank Jo Elizabeth for being our seventh Beau book launch author. Congratulations, Jo Elizabeth, on another publication of another wonderful book. And we began back in January of this year. We have had, as planned, a Beau book launch each month except for July. And we invite all of you to come back in September for our next author presentation. Our next Beau book launch will be on September the 15th. That will be a Thursday, and we're delighted to have as our Beau book launch author in September, Cheryl McNeil Fisher. So please join us again then, and if you have any questions about Beau book launch, or if you want to make certain that you have information as to when our upcoming Beau book launches are, you can send an email to booklaunch@behindoureyes.org. So, everyone, again, great thanks to Jo Elizabeth. Joan, you did a beautiful job interviewing. Many thanks to you and both Annie Cipetta, who is our Zoom host, and also to Deanna Quietwater Noriega, who was assisting as well with our Zoom host. Marilyn is our web liaison. She is here. And to her son, Jay, and really, it took a village, but we now have, very proud to say, with about five people working together, but especially a warm and special thanks to Jason Smith. We are, for the first time this evening, using our Behind Our Eyes Zoom account. So we're very pleased about that, but we thank Annie very much for sharing with us her
all the work
earlier months. So thank you all very much. And Joan, back to you.
Well, that's all for this time. Please join us next time, as Alice said. Thanks so much, everyone.
Good night, everybody.